الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to start a series inshallah now on highlights of the seerah with the intention of helping us to look at individual highlights on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implement them in our lives. So each one we will do one each day inshallah. Today I want to begin that series with what to me is the most important and critical highlight of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the element of mercy, the element of rahmah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He said, we have not sent you as anything except rahmah for the alameen, not just this world, for the worlds. Whatever that means in terms of the context of the responsibility of nubuwwat that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. So the rahmah is mercy. And as my definition of mercy, which you have heard me say many times, mercy is to return good for evil. To return good for good is justice. To punish for evil is justice. But to return good for evil, this is mercy. And this is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself that your Rabb has written for himself mercy. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most merciful, the most gracious. And he said about his Nabi that he is the mercy to all of mankind. So in the life of Rasulullah, this is a theme that runs through his entire blessed life from the beginning to the end, where Rasulullah, whenever it came to anything to do with himself, he never exercised any sense of retribution, or he never attempted even compensation. He did not attempt to take. Retribution is a bit more severe, but even compensation, for example, he was driven out of Makkah, his property was confiscated, he was driven out, he was emotionally tortured, he was physically assaulted, he was hurt both mentally and physically, emotionally and physically. One of his daughters was killed in this whole episode of going from Makkah to Medina. And when he came back to Makkah as a conqueror at the head of an army, and the Makkans were completely at his mercy, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only did not punish them, not only did he not extract retribution, he did not even take compensation for his own personal possessions, his property, his house, from the Makkans. No, he didn't even take that. He just went off. When he went to Medina, he went to Medina, that's it. He didn't say, well, this was my house and you give it back to me. No, nothing. He could have done all of that and more. So this is the quality of mercy. Now, what's the benefit of that mercy? And we'll come to that when we talk about forgiveness. The benefit of mercy is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the high ground, where he took the wind out of the sails of his potential critics. Because if anyone wanted to even exercise or start or incite a rebellion against him, on what basis would they do that? Because just now he forgave them all. Even though he had the, under the law of the land at the time, he had the right to order the execution of the men and enslavement of the women and children. He could have done that. He did not do that. And that's why the people who were in Makkah at the time of Fateh Makkah and who were forgiven by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and remember, they were not forced to convert to Islam. They were not forgiven after they converted to Islam. They were forgiven as they were, as non-Muslims. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave them, and they were called At-Tulaqa. They were called the freed slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why were they called the freed slaves? Because according to the law of the land at the time, the conqueror had the right to enslave the population. But he did not do that. He chose not to do that. So this issue of mercy is such a critical and important issue, and it's such a running theme in this religion, that it's something that really seriously we need to think about and we need to emphasize in our lives. One of the finest examples of this mercy, and this is before Fatah Makkah, at the peak of Rasulullah's the opposition against him, was the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud, there was a man called Utbah bin Abi Waqqas who managed to get close to the Prophet and he threw a rock at Rasulullah and it was from close range and he had the opportunity to do that. So he threw this rock at the face of Rasulullah and the rock hit his blessed face. It went through the chainmail which was on his face. Two or three links of the chainmail got embedded in his cheek. His cheek was cut. His two or three of his teeth were broken, smashed. And the shock of the concussion was such that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lost consciousness and he fell backwards. And he fell into a pit and the edge of the pit hit the back of his neck. So he lost consciousness. The Sahaba thought he had died. And there was a great panic. They said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dead. But then a few minutes later he regained consciousness. He was bleeding profusely. First of all, he was badly hurt. And secondly, facial wounds and head wounds bleed a lot. So he was bleeding profusely. He lost his teeth. He had this chainmail embedded in his cheek. And they say that the final illness, and this is on a side note, final illness that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had at the time when he was dying, which was this, one of the symptoms was this extremely severe headache that he had. He had this continuous migraine. They say that this was because of meningitis. And they say the reason for this meningitis, they've given many suggestions. One of them is that it's meningitis. Another one is that it was the effect of poison that was given to him by the Jews. But the meningitis thing, they say that this is probably happened because this strike of this stone probably resulted in a hairline fracture of the skull through which the meningitis virus would have got inside. And then the effect showed up a few years later. Anyway, so that was the incident. Now, when this incident happened, and when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gained consciousness, obviously the Sahaba were very, very distraught, they were very angry, they were very upset about what happened. So they said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, it is time for you to make dua against these people. Because this is the limit. What is it that you have done to them? You have not harmed them in any way. All you are trying to do is to give them a good message, a message of peace, of harmony, of justice, of social justice, of not oppressing others. What is wrong about this message? I mean, if you don't want to accept the message, don't accept the message. That's fine. There's no compulsion. But instead of that, they said, your people, these people came, they tried to kill you. And physically now you have been assaulted and you have been badly injured and you've been hurt. It is time for you to make dua against these people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. Now imagine, put yourself in that scene. Here are the Sahabas, think of the middle of the war. The Prophet ﷺ has been hurt to the extent where they thought he is dead. He raised his hands. They asked him, make dua against these people. He raised his hands. Now think about that. You know, the way I like to see it, I think about it, I say it's almost like the entire universe stopped breathing. You know, held their breath to see the dua of the Nabi against the people, which would bring down the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their heads and wipe them out completely. Gone. And it is our aqidah. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua from his other anbiya. And if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua, that was the end of the Quraysh and of everything else. So the Sahaba are waiting for this dua of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam against his enemies. People who hurt him right now in the heat of the battle with his face bleeding and everything else. And what does he say? He said, Ya Rabbi, forgive my people, for they do not know what they have done. Allahumma aghfir li qawmi, fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allahumma aghfir li qawmi, fa innahum la ya'lamun. Ajib. Oh Allah, forgive my people, because they don't know what they do. They do not know what they have done. They do not recognize who is the Nabi. For them, this is not Rasulullah, this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So they are not, he is making excuses for his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is saying, Ya Allah, they did not hurt the Nabi. They only hurt one of their brothers. They know me as, you know, I grew up with them. They know me as one of their people. So, okay, they hurt me, but they didn't hurt me as the Nabi. Because this is a, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's point of view, if people assault the Nabi, then this is something which is beyond, Allah does not forgive. I mean, there's no way that such people will get forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on, with respect to the munafiqeen, Allah revealed ayat to say this. Even if the Nabi asks forgiveness, I will not forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. So this is the, what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making excuse for them. And saying, Ya Allah forgive them. Ya Allah forgive them. Ya Allah forgive them. Ajib, this is the quality of rahmah, the quality of mercy. Returning good for evil. Now, what is more evil than being physically assaulted in that situation? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what comes from his mouth is only good. What comes from his blessed tongue is only good. And therefore I remind myself and you, this is a very, very critical need of the hour today for the Muslims globally, to show mercy. Because if we are the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are Rahman or Rahim of the dunya wal akhirah, and if we are the people who follow Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are rahmatul lil alameen, then we have to be people of mercy. We cannot be people who are brutal, we cannot be people who are ruthless, we cannot be people who have no mercy. This is not possible, because if that is the case, then we cannot claim to be from the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can the people of the Ummah of the one who is the mercy to the worlds be people who have no mercy? This makes absolutely no sense. So we have to really ask ourselves and say, what is it in my life that demonstrates mercy? And as I said, the mercy definition of mercy is return good for evil, return good for bad. So we need to look into our own lives, and that is the lesson for today, a reminder for ourselves, to say that here is this incident of mercy in the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here is this quality of mercy in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is the reflection of this mercy in my life? What can I show to Allah to say, Allah, I am a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on which, please forgive me. And this mercy from his life is reflected in my life in this way. This is what I did. To so and so who did evil to me, I returned good. You don't have to tell me. It's for your own self in your own life, and say, who are the people in your life? And I'm sure everybody's got somebody or the other who does something bad. Now, what is it that we do? How do we return that? And as I told you, in a case, there may be cases where if you do not return good for that evil, you are still not doing injustice. You are still just, because somebody did something wrong to you and you retaliated. You had the right to retaliate. And as long as you did not transgress the boundaries, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the right. So there is no problem with that, right? However, the point remains that that is not mercy. That is not mercy. Mercy is to return good for evil, to return good for bad. So I remind myself and you, let us ask ourselves this question and say, what is it in my life that will reflect this mercy that was the singular quality of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to find these qualities, to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him, and to use that as the excuse for forgiving us when we meet him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.